This is DJ Tanis of Trouble Radio, and you are listening to a Trouble Radio interview. Any attempt to copy, reproduce for distribution or sales expressly prohibited by law, unless written authorization has been obtained from Trouble Radio or Jason Saulnier. Enjoy the interview.
Trouble Radio Rock Shop. Music? We can sell you the instruments to make it. From your garage band to Carnegie Hall, we can outfit you all. So come to the Rock Shop. That's www.trebleradiorockshop.com.
Good evening, good afternoon, Trouble Radio listeners. You have DJ Tanis here in the Dragon's Den, and live with me is Jason Saulnier. Is that correct, Saulnier?
Sonia, you got it, man.
Sonia, outstanding.
You're good.
Excellent. Hey, so what's going on, man? How you doing? How's the day treating you?
Not bad at all. Just came from a radio show that I do myself and had a blast. Played a Megadeth spotlight, you know, do that stuff. Weather's not bad and, you know, just recording my new album at the same time, slowly.
Yeah, I feel you on that one. Cool. So the Megadeth thing, was that in conjunction with Mr. Elfson swinging his body back to Megadeth?
Kind of, but also because Megadeth's coming to my region there this summer, and I figured what better way to get the festivity started than playing a Megadeth spotlight. And also, yeah, David Elfson's back in the band. That kind of puts a thumbs up to Megadeth.
Absolutely, absolutely, indeed. Yeah, that's good stuff. I've actually
one of the best news I heard in a long time.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I'd say I've talked to him a couple times, and that was some pretty interesting news that I got there, that he was coming back. That's good stuff, right there.
Oh, excellent stuff, I'd say.
Coolness. So now you do your own. I kind of alluded the listeners to the fact that you have an FM radio show. Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, I got an FM, and I got also internet radio show also. So I do two radio shows, same type of music and stuff. The FM is interesting still. You know, the people still listen to it, believe it or not.
it's a good
thing to have, I think, still. Sirius radio would be the next step. I'd love to be on the Sirius satellite, but you know, that's a big step to do. But I don't know, it's doing great. You know, online radio, I think it's picking up super speed, you know.
Yes it is. Depending upon where you live, these new G4 broadband phones and the iPods and the iPhone and that kind of thing, soon they're going to be able to clue into internet radio. They can now. It all depends on the speeds of broadcast. But internet radio, firstly, because it's not run by the FCC, at least here in the United States. It's gaining fast ground very quickly.
Oh yeah, because you don't have to watch what you say, and you know, it's the internet's really picking up speed. And when we got all wireless systems everywhere, that's going to be excellent. Imagine in the future driving your car down the highway and listening to this show right now. You know, that's going to be awesome days when you can tune into like shows like yours.
Exactly, and yours as well. Exactly. I can't wait for that day to come.
It's going to come in the future. It's just right now, wireless internet, you know, ain't stable as it should be. You know, imagine driving in the desert. You ain't going to get wireless internet too quickly there, I don't think.
That's true. Well, you may, you still, at least for the near future, you're going to probably be relegated to receiving it in your, smaller cities, town, in a populated area. Yeah, I agree.
Another thing, too, I'm noticing with like the FM versus the internet radio is, let's say you are on an FM station, like let's say tonight I broadcast it on the FM waves, which is great because the people driving in their cars can hear it, but you can also advertise it on Facebook, Twitter, and all that, so the people online can click on there, because FM waves only go a certain length, and I mean you grab a whole different people that are just listening on their computer. You know, a lot of people don't move
absolutely
out of the house anymore.
That's true. Hey, you're talking to one right here. I actually work from home, so I'm at my computer basically from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
and how do you like that?
Well, I'll tell you. I just we broadcast out of Stockton, California, which is just south of Sacramento. And I was just reading on the internet just maybe 20 minutes before my show. I like to catch up on the news because I may throw little nuggets out there. And here's a little nugget. My city is ranked number 2 as the most miserable places to live.
In what? California?
In the United States.
In the whole United States?
Number 2.
Who made that survey?
This was on Yahoo News. This was done by, let me see here. I have it right here. This was done by Forbes.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, and you're hearing it for the first time on Treble Radio.
That's right. Stockton, California is the second worst city or most miserable city to live in the country of the United States. Cleveland is number 1.
Wow.
It's crazy insane. But see, now, one of the reasons why, and you asked, how's that working out for me, working from home and being home all the time. One of the reasons why Stockton is the most miserable place to live is because the commute times are so long. There are no jobs here. You have to drive 2 hours in any direction to get a job. Yeah,
would you
pretty bad.
That in California, making that. That's interesting. You taught me something there.
It's amazing. It really is. I mean, and it's not the distance that's the grind is, because the people, everybody that lives out here that does go to work in something other than picking corn has to drive. So the amount of cars on the road is insane.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's crazy. Crazy. But
Where's the nearest door down there?
Well, I mean, it is a city. I mean, to get on that survey is you have to have over 250,000 residents. I mean, we do have, but that's the problem. That's all there is here. Is my wife Ilana and we were just talking prior to the interview here. The only thing here is retail and restaurants. There are no actual real jobs. I mean, pay off your mortgage jobs. It's bad.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I love working from home. I commute downstairs. I can be in my sweats and my t-shirt. Oh, I love it. Love it.
No dress code.
No dress code. Don't have to shave. It's all good. It's all good.
Wow, you got the life made, it seems. Right on.
For now. We got some things in the hopper should do quite well here over time, but it's all good.
Cool.
So, brother, tell me about this album you're working on. I've been playing your jams here. Actually, I've had your music on our rotation for just the same day that I got the licks from you, and I've been playing them this afternoon. So, talk to me about this album, this new album you're working on.
Wow, thanks first of all to play my music. That means a lot, from Nova Scotia, Canada to California. Excellent, thank you very much. And good things going to be said.
No worries. Thanks.
For the new album, man, it's going to be in the line of the same, old stuff, but there's going to be less... it's going to be more raw, let's just put it like that. Less overdubs and stuff, And the other one is like, a lot of overdubs, two guitars, one guitar solo sure. track. You know,
sure.
this one I want to go back more, less distortion, more crunch, loud volume type of 1970s settings. And believe it or not, I bought the other day an Eric Clapton Crossroads pedal. It's got like the same
yeah.
settings. Now, I find that's an interesting tone, the Eric Clapton pedal. A lot of people said negative things about it, but I'm using it right now, and it's like completely creating my sound because to do good guitar solos without the distortion, it's a little bit harder, right? And you got to work at it harder. This, I find the guitar tone is incredible to hear your notes even more, less guitar
right,
distortion.
Right.
I don't know if you noticed that in my playing. It's like it goes fast at places and stuff, and there's like minimal distortion, just loud volume. You know, the
right.
like those old secrets of the guitar worlds, you know, the guitar
yep.
legends they use. And I produce my own albums. I got a 24-track recorder, Roland VS-2480 there, which you can't find anywhere now, but I find that works out good. Just had it for 6 months now. And the drums sound crystal clear, better than the last album. I mean, when you're doing an album and you're producing it yourself, no budget at all, actually.
Yeah.
just doing it for, you know, a few fans out there, doing it for people who do appreciate it, like yourself and other people. You know, it's worth it. You know, you put the time.
Sure.
I done one song. I got 12 coming out. One song's done with the guitar solos. It's going to be crazy. I'm trying to do more finger tapping, which I don't really do too much these days. In a different finger tapping style, I guess, because I don't want to try to duplicate everybody else. I want to do something a little bit more original, I guess. You know, everything I do is a bit more interesting, if it makes sense.
Very cool. Yeah, it makes perfect sense to me. I'm not sure if the layman listening is, but I know what you're talking about. Absolutely. Now on the drums, is that something? Now, are you playing those as well yourself? I mean, regular skins, or are you using a drum machine that you're programming up, or what's going on with that?
Great question. It is actual drums. I used to do, you know, program my own drums for, you know, just demos and stuff. But I
sure.
find that when you get a real drum set going on, you know, it makes the difference in all this stuff. You know, the real hi-hats.
Oh, sure.
You know, simulated hi-hats don't sound quite as right. The snare drums, I don't care, because you listen to Judas Priest, Turbo Lover, and all that. Those albums, all synthesizer-type drums. You know,
yep.
Fake, even Defenders of the Fate, great album, but listen to what it sounds like.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
But
absolutely, indeed.
But, yeah, these are real drums, just mic'd close, no overheads,
mm-hmm.
because we let the bleed into the tom mics, I guess. I find that
sure.
a good way to record these days. And
that's old school there. I like it.
Yeah, thanks. And my mastering engineer for my next album might be Maurer Applebaum. He recorded with Yngwie Malmsteen, did work... man, with tons of people. The new Cathedral album's being mastered by him, etc.,
mm-hmm.
etc. He's doing lots of work. And I find to get somebody like him on the same page as me to advertise him as well, it helps him. It helps me because then I can, you know, you have the extra names. You ever notice that a lot of the independent artists, when they get a producer or a mastering engineer, they tend to use what bands they did in their biography.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
It's the only way to do it, I guess.
Well, you know? It's one way to do it, for sure. Yeah. Now yeah. when do you expect to wrap up the... when are you trying to shoot for wrapping up the album?
Wow, I was shooting for March, early March, but that's impossible right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm doing an interview and not recording, joking. I don't know, end of March, I figure. I'd love to have a product out. And depending on the mastering, because that's really important, the mastering process.
Oh, yes.
The biggest part that nobody thinks is important, you know, it is.
That's
but
true.
Time, to find the funds to pay for this stuff, right?
Yeah, I totally. Well, I see. I run a studio out of my house as well, and actually we're going through it right now on the radio station as well here. And yeah, I'm running a I use sonar hard right. disk recording. And yep. I have a plugin. Oh, it's called Ozone Isotopes, and it's specifically designed for mastering. Yeah, yeah.
I've got that also.
Yeah, it's wicked. I love that stuff. Mastering is a snap with that. That's what I find.
Yeah, I find the plugins that they got today, like certainly Isotope here, Ozone. It's the number 4 version. It's I think it's number 4. Super, the what you can do with it. You can change everything. With the preset,
everything
sound good.
Yeah, I know. Isn't that insane? Usually, you try and stay as far away from the presets as you can, but that's pretty dialed in. They did a good job with that.
Yeah, it's the presets, usually you got to always work at them to make your own settings. Like if you buy a Boss guitar pedal, you ain't going to be using them presets. Sorry about that. They don't sound good. But you
that's
use
right.
these presets and they surely rock out the mix. With the compression.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Hey, so Willie's tapped me here. He's thrown something by me here about your YouTube, your interview site.
Yeah.
Yeah, do tell.
Oh, well, my interviews I do on YouTube?
Yeah.
Well, basically, I interview tons of musicians like you do weekly, I guess, for the love of metal and hard rock and you name it, or classic rock, and it's to preserve the what these people know. I talk mostly about equipment that was used in certain recordings, and I find
sure.
the best method to get your interviews out is YouTube, and I've started doing that, and people from all over the world will find it, not necessarily click your site. But they'll find your interview if they like it or not. They'll put your little comment and stuff. You know how that works.
That's true.
It takes a while.
I actually
get it, though.
I totally understand because Ilana and I, for one of our businesses that we run, we actually just put up yesterday our very first YouTube commercial.
Wow.
Yeah.
I tell you,
if you've got a go ahead.
YouTube's getting big. YouTube is it's the biggest video company right now, for musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Let's say you ain't gonna be an MTV anymore or Much Music Canada. You're gonna be on YouTube. Look at what Wasp did the other day. They made a video for Babylon. It's it's on YouTube now. That video probably ain't being played on MTV Much Music, but it's getting
right.
clicks on YouTube. The new media.
Oh
right
yeah.
now.
Absolutely. Well, we're gonna use it. That's all I got to say. I mean, we got this nifty HD semi professional video camera.
Cool.
Oh, it's beautiful. It records. It's actually a full size Panasonic records to a freaking SD chip in full
right.
1080p HD.
Way to go.
It is nice. Good stuff.
What's great
excellent.
About YouTube
excellent.
Is they let you do that 1080p now.
Yeah.
You
oh, yeah.
Broadcast on HD. Now I guess the Blu-ray players can have internet access and can watch YouTube videos on Blu-ray. Now that means you don't have to go and buy DVDs anymore. They're all there.
Oh, my God. See, now I don't have the Blu-ray player yet. That's coming down the pipe. I'm still stuck on my HD DVD.
You gotta look at the YouTube. If it's put on it, it's Blu-ray or Live or something like that. I don't have one yet, but I'm gonna get one. And from what
right.
I heard about it, it's awesome.
Outstanding. That's good stuff right there. Hey, you want to talk about old equipment? I play more of like a gothic techno kind of a sound, and. Do you remember the old Yamaha SY synthesizers?
No.
Oh, my goodness. I got this ancient Yamaha SY-85. It takes the 720-bit floppy.
Oh, Oh, yeah? Where do you buy them at?
You don't.
Okay. That's old, man.
It's old. Yeah, I think the last one they turned out was in 1986 or 7.
Wow.
That thing works like a champ, too. I do. I mean, I have it driving an Alesis rack module, though. So I am. I do have some updated stuff. But yeah, it's good stuff. That, and I use an acoustic. I have a Regal resonator.
Okay, but I'll tell you, sometimes when you get the classic equipment from the old days, they can't be beat. Look at microphones. Take an old microphones. You ain't gonna be buying that today, and the sound quality is made way differently.
Oh yeah. You aren't gonna touch it. If you are touching one, you laid $50,000 to a collector for one.
Oh sure. You know, we ain't got that money, but you know, we'll just go buy the SM57 retail.
That's, there you go. What am I using here? I'm using what do I got? I got AKGs.
Right on.
Yeah, that's what's in the studio here. AKGs. The AKGs and the Sennheisers, the old standbys.
I like the Sennheisers. That's what I have for my vocalists live usually. I find they
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, hey, listen, I don't want to keep you any longer because I know you got an evening to get to, and it's going on 6 here, so it's what, about 8 your time, I think.
10 o'clock. My friend.
Sorry, 9, 10 o'clock. Oh, that's right. Yeah, it's an extra hour.
Four hours.
Oh my goodness. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on the show, and I'll send you an email because you have to hook me up with a link with the information to your show, and I have to come check At Baby out.
Cool stuff. You email me. Do you have my email?
Yeah, I do.
Good stuff. You email me, and we'll get in contact.
Absolutely. Hey, you have a wonderful evening, and I'll keep in touch, and we'll definitely keep me up to date when the new album comes out. And we'll get that get that rolling on air as well for you.
Thank you very much, and keep on playing some great tunes. Treble
absolutely. Rock. In fact, hey, that's right. In fact, what do I got here? I've got Stripped of My Dreams and Land of the Free all queued up. That's what closes out the interview.
Cool. Those are my songs.
Yes, awesome. They are.
Yeah,
all right, Jason, but hey, listen.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
Cool stuff, man. All right,
my man.
All right,
absolutely. You have a good evening. Yep, you too. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And there you go, people. Jason Saulnier from Back East, FM radio, kicking ass. You know, many of the good DJs are musicians and artists. You know why that is, people? Because it's so damn hard to break into this industry that is music and make, you know, a living at it like a lot of people want to. So DJing is a good way to stay in touch with what's current, have time to put your own stuff out. And hell, I'm gonna tell you right now, when you put your own stuff out, you can bet your ass you're playing your own stuff. So yeah, I mean, if you're at an FM station that lets you have a little bit of freedom, many of those places that a lot of people don't know have set playlists that they're forced to play because of royalties, rights, the record companies, et cetera, et cetera. But if you get a little freedom, you know, all you need is 3 to 4 minutes each hour. That's the DJ's discretion, and that's free advertising right there, people. And free is the key word, as you so eloquently had heard Jason put it.